Morning, everybody.
Welcome to the Fisherman Ministry, South Carolina. This is our Sunday morning service, first one in our new chapel. We have some visitors from out of town. James, you want to come up here and say something about Jesus? There you go.
Well, the Lord is good, amen?
Amen.
And I could stand here all day and tell you how good the Lord is, because He's done a mighty work in my life. And I know He's done a mighty life in yours, too. And you know, no matter what happens, the only thing you can do is trust in Him and know that He's bigger than it and that He can fix anything.
That's right.
If you put your heart and trust in Him, no matter what happens, He can redeem it all.
Yeah.
And the Lord is mighty. And I just thank Him for it, because without Him, I wouldn't be here today.
How's being married? Married's good.
Yep, our married life is going well. Yeah, it's been a mighty blessing from the Lord. You know, through all my rebellion, I end up in Georgia. And there's Rosemary. And He redeemed it all.
Yeah. And that's good.
He's amazing. But let's not lose sight of the Lord. Let's keep our eyes set on Him. Amen?
Amen.
We have an amazing capacity to justify ourselves. And, you know, I pray every morning just about when I wake up that the Lord doesn't treat me the way I treat Him and other people, because I deserve that and more. And it would be one bad day to wake up and be treated by everybody I come across the way I really am. The truth of the matter is that if we believed all that stuff we sang, and we understood the character of our Heavenly Father, we'd act differently. And I mean in this way. God is not a jerk. And the setup and the plan the whole way through down the ages was for Him to be revealing Himself to us as He is. And the fact that we don't get it still doesn't make Him a jerk. I was reading in Luke 11. So I guess that's where we're going to go. And it's another one of the passages where Jesus is revealing the Father, as was His job. Verse 1. It came to pass that as He was praying in a certain place, when He ceased, one of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, teach us to pray. And John also taught his disciples, as John taught also his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day, give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he need. Well, I looked that up, because that puzzled me. That importunity is shamelessness. He shamelessly asks for his friend to help him. The only reason that we don't get what we ask for is we can't humble ourselves and come before the Father shamelessly. No, we're not worthy. But that's what this was about. That was, and it keeps going. If we understood how good the Father was, and we went before Him and asked Him for stuff, we'd understand. That He desires to give us what we need, what we're asking for. I say unto you, and it is the asking of it is humiliating, isn't it? I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And here's why. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is his father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Heavenly Father isn't evil and gives you what you ask for. But in that shamelessness, there's an expectation. There's a humility and there's an expectation that He's going to deliver. Because you have humbled yourself. And because He's good. And then Your request is always shameless. It shouldn't be attached to any shame whatsoever. He's removed all the shame. And the shame is simply attached to being guilty and being caught. It's why we need mercy. It's why we need grace. And if you have mercy and grace, you don't have any shame. I was thought of shameless as being not smart enough to recognize when you should be shamed. But that's not the case here. The shamelessness is actually a virtue. It's a quality. It's an understanding of where you stand before the Father. And it was procured by Jesus and His blood. You know, when we first started talking about converting this thing here into a chapel, I just didn't see it. I had no idea how that was going to work. I'd been in this building. I knew what it was like in here. And I know that, you know, Davey and Ricky, when we were talking about that, I knew they knew, they understood what I was, at the mental block that I was having. But I also knew how good the Lord could be. And it's taken longer than it should. It's taken a lot of sweat equity and a lot of work on many people's part. But, you know, the Lord has delivered us a new chapel. And in even though I just couldn't see how it was ever going to happen. You know, it didn't require that I understand how that was ever going to happen. All it understood was that all it was necessary was for me to believe it could, because the Lord is good. And it's just like in all the other aspects of His personality. He is what He is. And He can't be anything but what He is. And what He is He's good, and He's perfect in His goodness. And He's righteous, and He's perfect in His righteousness. And He brings judgment, and He's perfect in His judgment. And He brings justice and brings us to account. He's perfect in that. And I praise Him for that, because when we exercise that, those characteristics that we're supposed to emulate as we reveal the Father to those around us who need it, we don't do it terribly well sometimes. But He's bigger than we are with our limitations. And He can bring about that which He desires to bring about. And He'll let us participate in it because He's good. We get to be a participant in His divine nature. We get to share in the inheritance He's created for those who will love Him and serve Him and lay down their lives for Him, for others who will turn their backs on those things, the cares of this world, pick up their cross and follow Him. I'm reminded of a verse in 1 Corinthians where Paul's chiding the Corinthians for taking each other to court over stupid stuff before unbelievers. And he says, why not suffer the wrong? So you've been wronged. So what? How we got here was Jesus was suffering wrong, wasn't he?
Yes.
He didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
You expected it's going to be different for you? I see how we treat each other, and I go, man, what were we thinking? And what does it say in Matthew? The track to staying on this narrative where God's revealing his goodness, where he's teaching you how to ask for it, he's showing you what kind of attitude he delivers with. In Matthew, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added unto you. That doesn't sound like a father who's trying to skimp out and get off on the cheap to me. Amen. While we were yet sinners, while we were his enemy, he didn't spare his own son. For us. I just pray that this week, as we spend time sharing in fellowship and visiting one another and exhorting one another, if we remember how we treat each other out of 1 John, love is of God. Everyone is loved is born of God. He who says he loves God and hateth the brother is a liar. Let's don't be treating each other how we all treated Jesus. Remember how good the Father's been to us. Let that work a humble and contrite heart before the Father. And let him clean it. Purify your motives and intentions. And actually put some of that agape love out there for other people. I'm done.
I don't know if this is working or not, but I just want to tell you guys how the Lord has blessed me this week. You know, first of all, I got the news on Tuesday morning that my birth mother passed away during the night. Actually, Wednesday morning, when I found out. But I was working, trying to get things together to go, but I didn't have the funds to go. And I just kept working. I didn't think I was going to make it, you know. And, you know, I just humbled myself. I sang praises to God. I prayed and I asked God. And I said, whatever I've done, Lord, forgive me. I don't know what I've done wrong. But whatever it is, please forgive me. And And if whatever I've done has blocked your blessings to allow me to go, or if you just don't want me to go, just fine. That's, I won't go. But if it's okay with you that I go to be with my family, and please open the floodgates of heaven. And the next morning, he did. And, you know, just one thing after another. I had a client. I got the job done, paid me right on the spot. I've got sold 2-3 computers. Then my uncle, who's owed me for 2.5 years for her laptop, finally called me and said, I think I need to pay you. You know, so I just wanted to show you guys, when you humble yourself, you get God's attention, and he will open the floodgates of heaven for you. Amen.